Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 102. All right, Thursday, June 30th, we're going to be doing a Nerdist Podcast live at NerdMelt in Los Angeles with Tom Lennon and Ben Garant. Yes, our first guest ever, Tom Lennon, on the Nerdist Podcast has come back, finally, a year and change later. Also, make sure to pick up tickets for our Nerdist Podcast live at San Diego Comic-Con. That'll be Saturday, July 23rd at 8 p.m. Details and tickets for that stuff are at Nerdist.com. And if you need new earbuds, make sure and support our podcast by going to tweakedaudio.com/Nerdist and getting $10 off their awesome quality earbuds and great customer service. Only $19 for you guys. Yes, yes, yes. I love you too. And now, here's the Nerdist Podcast number 102 with my sometime co-worker at G4, Miss Allison Hayslip. Go H-Team!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Like he's been sent a timeout.
All right.
Bad right now.
So we've started the podcast. Allison Hayslip is here. We're in the
What's
recording
up,
studio. Hey, Slippy.
So hi.
Jonah Ray is crunched over in the corner, hunched,
Does
looking
it, he looks
miserable.
Like he's
on the phone. He looks like he's in a timeout.
Dealing with some insurance
okay,
issues.
Okay, so what happened?
Well, Jonah was, I believe he was parking or leaving a parking spot and dented a bumper.
Okay.
And he felt guilty about not leaving a note, so he left a note
he's sweet.
With his contact information.
Yep.
And the woman just texted him and said that she got three estimates.
Uh-huh.
And from what we've just overheard on Jonah's side of the conversation, one of them is $1,500 for a dented bumper.
$1,500.
And we don't know what kind of car she had?
I don't know. I could build a bumper for that much.
Yeah,
money.
Right?
Could you, though?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
it sounds like
a
neat thing to say.
Bumper, but it would certainly
if you know how to work with fiberglass, maybe.
Wait. Yeah, a meeting.
Oh, I mean, you can't explain a podcast.
We already started.
Tell him you're doing a podcast. Ah, Jonah Ray. Come here, buddy. Sometimes it's expensive to do the right thing.
I could have left.
But you didn't. You know what?
Good for you.
I'm telling you, I still think, even though it's $1,500, I still think you're doing the right thing, 100%.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Agreed. Good karma.
What kind of car did she have?
It was this, like a Blazer, like a kind of just a 4Runner kind of Blazer car.
$1,500, really?
And it's like, it's the corner of the bumper is just pushed in. And then she has this swipe that's on the side of her car.
So she's probably trying to get that fixed, too.
That's what I'm thinking. But she's like, she wants to show me all the paperwork and make it all legit.
I would have totally left it.
She's
Matt, come on.
No, I would have.
No, Matt.
If the car was so severely damaged, people have done that to me left and right.
You're an awful person.
That's why.
Sometimes you got
to
do it.
But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk to Allison Hayslip.
That's much more amusing than dented cars.
I know, Allie.
Listen, after what I've gone through with
the car. Did you just call me Allie?
Maybe I did.
That was adorable. Only my family calls me Allie.
Really?
Are we related?
This is the Olive Garden. When you hear your family.
Oh, okay.
Would you like some more never-ending pasta bowl?
Yes, only if it comes with breadsticks.
Oh, never-ending burrito bowls.
That's a good idea,
God,
Chris.
That's an awesome idea.
No, that is
idea.
Not.
Sounds
yes.
expensive.
Burrito bowls.
Guys, we opened Mexican Olive Garden, Avocado Garden. Let's fucking do
avocado
it.
Avocado Garden.
Avocados are like oranges to Mexican people. They fucking put them on everything.
Yes, I'm for that.
Who puts oranges on everything?
Yeah.
Floridians.
The Mandarin people.
Oh, very good.
Mandarin.
Very
good.
Mandarin oranges. The mini ones, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Little baby oranges.
Allison Hayslip, it's nice that I've finally had you on the podcast after all this time.
After Twitter accosted you for a year and a half to finally have me on this.
Fair enough. That's fair enough.
Twitter can do that sometimes.
So you and I have been working on Attack of the Show almost the exact same amount of time. You have a couple months on me.
We've been working together for almost 3.5 years.
3.5 years. Yeah, just about 3.5 years.
I don't have friendships that last that long.
But you're one of my favorite people, Allison Hayslip, and it's always fun to host Attack of the Show with you.
It is.
So that doesn't really happen anymore.
I know. We have to get both Kevin and Candace sick.
Because the problem is, let's just get it. You know what we have to do is just send them to a daycare and just let them bounce around in the viral soup that is viral soup, you guys.
There
viral
we go. Soup.
For doctors, we'll host it.
Actually, it sounds what web soup could have been called.
Viral soup. Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
That's true.
This week on Viral Soup, SARS. Remember when that was a thing?
That's hilarious.
SARS.
So, Hayslip.
Yeah.
You started working on Attack of the Show in around October of 07?
October of 07 was the first day that they hired me. But I was only freelance for a couple months, so I only worked here and there.
And so you were stripping at a bar.
Correct, obviously. You worked with me on the show when we had the stripper pole. You know how good I am on it.
No, I know you're good on stripper pole, but you were just bartending. You were just a fun, cool, nerdy gaming chick who was bartending.
Who was bartending, yep. I was acting and stuff like that, but like most actors in LA,
acting like a bartender for money.
You're acting like a bartender. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and someone who worked in development at G4 came in, sat at my bar, had a beer, and I had a Nintendo remote control charm necklace on, and we got to talking about video games, and he was like, "Wait a minute, you're a chick who plays video games." I was like, "Yep." And he was like, "You need to be on our show." And I was like, "All right, cool.
B, I want to touch your boobs."
Yeah.
See, this is why it's important.
He was in my bar because he was celebrating his wife having just gotten pregnant. So,
which is exactly why he'd want to cheat. That is exactly the time. You're like, well, this sex life is going to go south quick. But this is why it's important to let your nerd flag fly.
Exactly.
Because your Nintendo game controller necklace
got me my job.
Yeah.
My career.
Well, your bubbly personality.
Oh, right. And my dashing good looks.
And your cute looks also had some play.
Be honest, though. Yeah. You got more money working at a bar than working at G4, right?
I think if you really charted out hourly, yes, you are correct.
Because at least at a bar, you can get tips. You don't have to report.
Right,
no one tips you at G4. No. There's no tip jar. No,
you never have to work 14 days straight at a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
But so much fun. I mean, listen, you know, you went from working to a bar to fucking going to Australia and Tokyo and Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
And
the town
London,
of Ninja Warrior.
Hawaii.
Blowing up cars.
I know. I have blown up cars and objects and shot a lot of guns and drifted cars and swam with sharks and flew a helicopter.
But have you ever drifted a shark?
I'm not. That should be my next one.
Oh,
yeah.
Tokyo Shark Drift.
Tokyo Shark Drift.
That's where they drift the shark on its side.
Are you sure it's not a delicacy?
Might be.
Tokyo Shark.
It might be. But I don't know if a lot of people, you have your background is theater.
Correct.
You're a theater geek.
Theater.
You're a theater geek.
I spell theater R-E, not E-R.
Oh, theatre.
Theatre.
Yeah, yeah.
Theatre.
Theatre.
So you go to the theatre. And you also, now if you go to Hayslip's apartment, it looks like a 19-year-old college boy lives there, except for the red piano.
Exactly.
In the living room. Everything else is just like Xbox and Kinect and fucking I've never seen Allison Hayslip's room, and I've been in Allison Hayslip's room a couple times.
Yeah,
where there's not a pile of clothes on the bed and suitcases open everywhere and just shit all over the place.
I'm so embarrassed.
She's always on the go.
When you travel as much as I do, it's just such a pain in the ass to put clothes away. So
I travel as much as you do, and I do put my clothes away.
Oh, well, that's because you're neurotic. So.
Do you do laundry or do you fluff and fold? Do you fluff and fold?
No, I do laundry. But I, within the last like year, finally broke down and hired a cleaning lady because I realized I literally cannot keep my apartment clean because I'm never home.
Yeah.
And
wouldn't
she has offered.
Easier?
I know you would think, but no, she's offered to do my laundry now when she's over. So I basically just do laundry twice a month and I just have Morena, my cleaning lady, do it. And it's amazing.
That's good.
That's what happens when you start making big network money on The Voice. You can hire a cleaning lady.
No, I hired her a year ago. I've only been working on The Voice for a couple months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like, I can devote 1 week's paycheck per
month to a cleaning lady.
Just to keep my house clean.
Just have my laundry done. My mom's going to be so sad when she listens to this.
Why?
Because she taught me how to like do everything on my own, you know? Like she taught me how to do my own laundry and how to do dishes and how to clean the bathroom, and I don't do any of
that. Yeah, whatever.
Anymore.
You're not a fucking housewife. Who gives a shit? You're out there, you know, you're out there making a career.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is super fun. I mean, like The Voice. You know, I will be honest. When I first saw the billboards, I was like, ah, who's going to watch that show?
Everybody.
And it turns out everyone is watching that show.
12 million people are watching
it's
that
insane
show.
It's insane what a hit that show is.
I know.
And you're a part of it.
I know. It's crazy. I never thought, like, when I got approached about the show, I was like, this is a really cool... I honestly wanted to do the show just because I thought the concept of the show was awesome. I had no idea what the show was going to do. I was like, it's pretty cool that Carson Daly is my coworker, and so are Christina Aguilera and Adam Levine and all those guys. And then when the show premiered and it was like so freakingly massive, I was like, oh, holy crap, I'm on like a popular show. You know, I'm used to
what
being
What is
on,
that like?
I know, I'm used to being on G4. Like, Attack of the Show ratings are like 0.3 or something like that.
I broke that.
I'm on a show that gets like a whole number rating. It's
I don't
amazing.
Know what
that doesn't exist. They tell us here that that doesn't exist.
I know, right?
I've never had, well, maybe Singled Out. You know, Singled Out was a phenomenon, but let's just say I haven't had a taste in quite a while.
Oh, well, the podcast is being turned into a show, right?
We're going to
get a
Nerdist
TV show.
Yes, there's a Nerdist TV show. It's probably not going to get 12 million viewers.
We'll,
and that's
we'll
not,
get like an 8 share.
That's not.
I see a 1. I see a 1 point something in your future.
It's not unlikely that that could happen, but yeah. But you know, it's I mean, you know, you see it. You probably see a huge difference with you know, work. I mean, listen, G4 is one of the most fun places I've ever worked
definitely.
In my entire life, because everyone's kind of young and fun and hungry,
and everyone's working here because they want to be working.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and the environment's great, and the camaraderie is huge. But you know, when you go to work on a hugely from what I've heard, when you go to work on a hugely successful network show, it's just a little bit different of a vibe.
Oh, well, I have this great story. My first day working there, my producer who I work with directly, his name's Andrew. We were shooting outside for a little while. And after a couple hours, he was like, do you need anything? Are you okay? And I was like, I want ice cream. And he was like, really? And I was like, no, I'm kidding. I always want ice cream. Like, if you ask me what I want at any time of the day, I'm going to say ice cream. And he was like, oh, okay. 2 minutes later, Klondike bar arrives for me. I was like, where do you guys keep a stash of Klondike bars and how do I find it?
More importantly, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
Oh, exactly.
That sounds to me like a passive-aggressive diva move. I really want some
That's
food
how it
delivered
starts.
To me. Right. Yeah,
That's
exactly.
how it starts and then cut to week 4. Yeah. Where's my fucking Klondike bar?
Right. They actually
delivered to me by a polar bear!
They actually bought me an entire box of my own Zone bars as well, because I said I always like having protein bars.
What would I do for a Klondike bar? I wouldn't fucking fire all of you! For a goddamn Klondike bar.
That's season 2 for me.
Season
I think
two.
I have to make it through season 1 first.
You have to plan your meltdowns by season. Like, okay, I'm going to have 2 meltdowns next season. They should start figuring that into the contract. Okay, we'll guarantee 20 episodes and 2 meltdowns.
Yes, I'm agreed.
So how is everyone on the show? Is everyone super cool?
Yeah, they're awesome. Carson was really the one who kind of made it all come together for me, because I saw him the first day we were there. And he walked up to me in the hallway and he was like, Allison, I love your work on G4. I'm really excited to have you be a part of this show. Like, we think your role is really important to the success of this show. And I was like, that's awesome. And once the coaches saw that Carson kind of took me under his wing, they were like, oh, okay, this chick's obviously cool. We can talk with her. We can hang with her.
Do you mean
know?
Johnny Carson?
Yes, Johnny Carson. No,
well,
I mean Carson
Allison,
Daly.
This is great that you're on the program.
That was pretty good.
It's not a good one. But, you know, Carson Daly is a sweet, sweet, I mean, I think I told you, like, when our last season of Singled Out, he was working at a radio station.
Right.
And I remember doing an interview with him. He was working at I think it was Live 105 in San Francisco. And then he came back down here and they tried him out as a VJ. And then literally within like a year, he was Carson Daly. Like, he
and
popped
we grew up
so fast.
Him. Yeah.
Well, I didn't, but you did.
Oh, yeah. Because I have a baby.
You're a toddler. he's a sweetheart and just such a great guy.
Yeah, and he is actually one of the reasons that the coaches were excited to work on the show, because they all see Carson as like the guy who really got their music going. Like, Carson Daly was the first person to ever put Maroon 5 on the radio, and he was the first person to ever really talk to Christina Aguilera on TRL. So these coaches are really excited. They think
so
that
we have him to blame.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. They think he adds like a legitimacy to the show, and that's why they're excited about it. You know, he's actually a music dude.
Well, and you know, tell me exactly what. So you do stuff backstage with the contestants on the show, and then yes. you're also spearheading all of their social media.
Correct. Yeah, I am a social media correspondent, or as they call me on the show, the V correspondent. And you can't see me, but I'm flashing a V sign. That's what I do every time I say
like
it.
To refer to ladies as V correspondents.
Yes, yeah. V correspondent. Well, I've tried to trend on Twitter, flash your V, and get people to send me pictures of them throwing the peace sign, which is the V sign. And everyone's like, how many people send you dirty pictures? No one. No one has sent me a dirty picture.
Until now.
Yes. Moment. Now I've screwed up.
Please send Allison Hayslip pictures of your vagina.
Of your V.
Yeah.
Other people are like, why can't we flash our peas? And I'm like, because the show is called The Voice. There's no P in it. Hello.
I think someone should Photoshop a vagina with like Adam Levine's head and Christina Aguilera's head and all these people coming out of it.
That sounds really disturbing.
Yeah.
That's the billboard for season two. And then it's me and Carson off to the side just giving like just a
giving,
thumbs up.
Giving the old thumbs up.
That's the costume CeeLo wears to the next Grammy.
Exactly. He's birthing out a vagina. That sounds like something Lady Gaga would do.
It is. I think totally she's already something. Done that. I think she did do that already. Yeah. She birthed something out of there.
Yeah.
So it must be because you have a ton of followers on Twitter as well.
And, yeah.
And so there must have been confusion when you started tweeting a lot about the show, and people were like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, a lot of people, I got some bad feedback from some of my followers. People who were like, are you just a huge fan of the show? Why the fuck are you talking about this show so much? You know, people didn't understand what I was doing. And especially, you know, at the beginning of when The Voice was airing, all I was doing on the show was the little promos. But when the show is live, I actually have the V room, and I'm actually a part of the show, and it's interactive. And if you're watching the show at home, you can actually tweet me while the show is live, and I can respond to your question live on air. Which is, I believe, the first truly interactive television show using Twitter out there. I'm not quite sure, but
I think the Honeymooners did it.
But obviously, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they really pioneered a lot of that stuff.
Well, originally, that was actually
also
just
besides
part
Attack of the Show. Obviously, we have our Twitter wall and we do
at
that.
At Norton!
Yeah.
It was a part. It was a sketch on the Jackie Gleason show first, and then they carried it over to the Honeymooners, the Twitter part.
I like it. But yeah, my Twitter followers were like the hardcore G4 fans were like, stop talking about this show. A lot of people were like, it's going to get canceled by May. Like, what are you doing talking about this show? It sucks. And I kind of want to be like,
that doesn't sound like the internet. I know.
Did anyone cry a sellout? Because, I mean, I'd imagine like a lot of the G4 kids kind of hold.
Yeah, I mean, a few people did. I got a little bit of it. But I made it very clear, you know, when I was announced on the show and in my intro video that I have on the Voice website, that I'm doing this show because I come from a huge music background and that. It's music is something that's very important to me, just as much as all the nerd geek stuff.
And it's a network show.
Well, and it's a network show.
Yeah,
but
totally,
look,
yeah.
I wouldn't be doing the show if it was like The Bachelor or something like that. You know, I don't care about that kind of crap.
Yeah,
at
if
all.
They waved enough cash out, you might have cared.
Okay, maybe if I was getting like Seacrest money, but
you wouldn't even have to get Seacrest money. You know what? You like entry level on a show like that, you could make $30,000 a week hosting a show like that. Entry level.
I gotta go.
Wow.
hosting a show like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
If you had no experience whatsoever and they just hired you, you could make $25,000-$30,000 a week hosting The Bachelor. So
I bet Brian Dunkelman still makes money off of that first season of American Idol.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know.
Weird story. Brian Dunkelman, I actually know him. He's married to a girl I went to college with.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a sweet guy, too.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
A lot of nice people in this business.
Yeah. I brought him up once at a show as Brian Slam Dunkelman, and he did not want to talk to me afterwards.
Really? I think that's awesome.
I was like, Brian Slam Dunkelman.
I don't mind
that's
that.
That's amazing.
You know what happened when I went up the other night? I went up Matt Myra's open mic the other night, just testing out new jokes to take on the road.
Nice, I heard.
Oh, you weren't there though.
I was in Temecula.
Ooh, oh, T-Mac.
Yeah, yeah,
I was in
T-Mac.
Yeah.
It's a nickname for Temecula, like Allie for Allison.
I know, but T-Mac doesn't sound cool.
It doesn't?
No.
Oh, I've always
let's go to T-Mac. That sounds like you're disguising Temecula.
I was at the Kula.
Don't we have?
I was down at the Kula.
Yeah, we do. So when I went up on stage, a cacophony of Big C. Like guys,
they chanted it.
Wow.
Why do people call you Big C?
Because Matt and Jonah started this bit where they were pretending like I was Elvis.
And like I think you made an Elvis voice.
I made an Elvis voice, and Matt's like, yeah, whatever you say. And I threatened to fire him for some reason. He's like, whatever you say, Big C. And I was like, no, that means cancer. You can't call me Big C. And it instantly, wherever I go now, when people know the podcast, are like, what's up, Big C? I'm like, come on, guys. It's cancer.
It's your own fault. If you hadn't said that, nobody would have called you that.
I know.
Oh, do you remember... Chris, do you remember the time you told me my last name sounded like part of the female anatomy? How about that? How about that? 2 years later, people still remind me about that.
I still contain
my last name sounds like part of the vagina.
I still contain that hayslip sounds like a woman's like, oh, I tore my hayslip. Like that sounds like a thing.
Just past the labia.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just the right under the labia minora.
And all the like craziness that goes on.
The craziness. All of that just
once you get past it's too confusing.
Once you get past the labia and the wizard that guards the
yes, and exactly. The riddle that you have to answer.
I mean, let's be honest. There's parts of my vagina that I'm not even sure
to
if they
find
do,
so. The clitoris. Where is it?
That Where? One's easy.
It's a legend.
That one's right in front. Come on.
Yeah. It's right out in front. He's like the wooden mermaid on the front of an old ship.
Exactly.
Like those are easy to find.
Like, bam, right there. Hi.
Oh, hey. Figurehead, Chris.
What?
It's a figurehead.
It is.
A figurehead. Yeah. Oh,
it is
yeah.
a figurehead. But then
no, it's
there's
the ship's clit.
The ship's clit. That's amazing, and I really hope people back then called it
the
that.
Hey, it's a fine ship clit.
Hey, that's a fine mermaid ye has for a ship clit. Yes,
we should dock to repaint the ship clit.
Yes.
Did they call it a clitoris back then? When was the word clitoris?
The ship clit
ring in fair water.
Sensitive today.
Do you think they had the clitoris clitoris argument back then?
I don't know. I think they probably didn't think enough of women to care about whether or not there was.
Yeah, women didn't have orgasms back then.
They did not.
No.
Accidentally.
Simpler
yeah, maybe.
Time,
and then they were like,
right,
what the
guys?
Fuck's wrong with me?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, unless you're watching Game of Thrones, they have them all the time.
not watching Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Sorry.
All of us are not watching.
Yeah. I'm also thrilled because Slippy and I went to dinner the other night.
We have a
fairly regular sushi ritual that we like to do.
Fairly regular by like once every 4 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then we're trying to figure out what to do afterwards. And she was like, what is the big deal about Doctor Who? And I'm like, you have Netflix. And I'm going to fucking show you. So we went right back to her apartment and watched.
He fucking showed me.
I fucking showed her.
Yeah.
She had to move all the clothes hanging off the TV.
Knock those out of the way.
No,
move
that's
the
in my
Kinect.
Bedroom.
Move the pizza boxes off the couch.
Yep. And then showed her the first two episodes of the Eccleston Doctors, and she was hooked.
I'm hooked. I've already watched 10 episodes now.
And I feel good.
Yes.
I don't know if I would have got, after two episodes, as hooked if I didn't watch Blink first.
Oh, that's what everyone's told me, that Blink is the episode that I can't wait to get to it. But, I'll be honest. The first two episodes, I was like, okay, it's good, but it's not a show that's making me go like, oh, I can't wait to watch
but
more.
But then you get to Empty Child.
I had faith in Chris's opinion of the show, so that's why when I have time, I now watch it. And yeah, then I just got to Empty Child last night, actually, and now I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah,
because that kid is creepy.
The first few episodes are sort of like just sort of playing around with the space a little bit.
Right.
And the very first one does feel like a pilot. It feels like it has the production value of a pilot.
Right.
And it's, you know.
Well, I made Chris promise me that the production value gets better as it goes on, because some of those explosions are pretty
shitty.
After
the living plastic.
Yeah. No, it feels weird. It feels like you're watching, Xena or Hercules. You know?
Yes.
It's that
Although,
level.
What I really appreciate about it is I love British humor, and I love the way that they throw shows together.
Lots
and
of places have
quick.
An oath.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the stuff I love.
Then you'll love Tennant. Because Tennant's all about Tennant.
What's Tennant? Played,
David Tennant is the tenth Doctor. He's the one after Eccleston.
I thought it was another episode I had to pay attention to. Yeah.
Tennant plays the Doctor like a comics sort of.
Oh, really?
And so he's, you know,
he's kind of cartoony,
but also has the ability to like turn and get serious.
Well,
and,
I actually really like Eccleston because he's flawed. There are things like he has anger issues and you can find fault
in
his character.
He's a much angrier doctor. You know, the Eccleston's doctor has just come off the Time Wars.
Yeah.
And so he's battle scarred.
Yeah.
Killed his people.
He's got some vengeance.
He's got some vengeance. You know, Tennant has a fiery passion, but he's not. I mean, like those first few episodes where he and Rose are just going at each other.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty unique to the Eccleston era. And then when you get to
towards the end of Tennant's run, you see the a little bit of Eccleston come out. Like you see a little
he
bit
starts
of
to crack.
He starts to crack.
Ooh. He starts to go a little crazy.
And then I feel like Matt Smith has the anger again.
It's
he has it pretty much right off the bat. Like he's like, humans. Like he hates humans, but he's still pretending.
So wait, which number Doctor am I on right
now?
You're the ninth Doctor.
Number nine.
Wow. So there were eight Doctors in the '60s?
Well, there were eight Doctors beginning in 1963, 61.
There was television back then?
Two.
61, 62. Do I hit 62?
That comment is going to be taken so out of context by so many assholes. I
know. Yeah, no, it ran in the 60s and then again in the 70s and a little bit in the 80s and then a little bit in the 90s and then picked up again in 2005.
Got it.
But Tom Baker is the classic doctor that everyone remembers with the scarf.
Oh, yeah. That's what my mom used to watch.
That was the one we got over here in the States on PBS.
Yeah. Yeah. PBS. Oh, my gosh. My mom watched so much PBS growing up. Well, when I was growing up, I mean. Masterpiece Theater.
Masterpiece Theater.
Yes.
PBS is the reason that the Monty Python became a hit in the States.
I loved Monty Python. Yeah,
they're the reason. They were playing them, and that's how everyone got like,
it's
really
just a flesh wound.
Exactly.
Come back, I'll bite your kneecaps off.
Yeah.
But so you have a comedy background in the sense that you clearly love good comedy. If you're watching Python on PBS, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know any other girls when I was growing up that watched that stuff.
That's because I'm awesome.
Hey, Slip, I would have married you in grade school if I had known that. Unfortunately,
maybe that's why my love life.
Unfortunately,
is so pathetic.
I would have been in high school, and so that would have been frowned upon.
Really awkward.
But what else did you like to watch when you were growing up?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and X-Men.
Heroes in a Half Shell.
Turtle Power. Had a major crush on Michelangelo.
Really, Michelangelo?
Yes, loved him because he was a party dude.
Yeah, but you know,
now I worked with that. That was my friend Rob who did the voice. Yeah.
Was he anything like Michelangelo?
Loved pizza.
That's okay. Sold. Loved pizza, done. Yeah. Is he single?
Rob Paulsen? No, Rob Paulsen's a little bit older than we are. But yeah. I worked with him on Barnyard, and he was one of the voices of the Animaniacs.
Which one?
He did. He was this one. No, that was he was also the brain. I mean, he's also Yakko. Pinky. He was Pinky. He was Yakko and Pinky.
Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, so he was Pinky.
Pinky and the Brain. I actually own all of season one on DVD.
So he was Pinky, and he was also Yakko, I think.
Wacko.
Yakko, Wacko, and Ringo.
Oh, right. The one that talked like Ringo. He's fucking awesome.
I own the Animaniacs album, and I can now sing all the states and their capitals.
I demand that you do it.
I have that on cassette.
Oh, boy. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Columbus is the capital of Ohio. There's Montgomery, Alabama, south of Helena, Montana, and there's Denver, Colorado, under Boise, Idaho. Texas has Austin, then we go north. No, that's not
Massachusetts, right. Massachusetts, Boston, Albany, New York. Yeah.
Tallahassee, Florida, and Washington, D.C., Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Nashville, Tennessee. Elvis used to hang out there a lot, you know.
Awesome!
That's great.
Oh, my God. You know, what if you didn't hear that sound... It was the rumbling of 150,000 nerd boys popping boners at the same time.
Yeah. I love that sound.
And that sound came from the future.
They're measuring it at Caltech right now.
That's fantastic. That's what's going to cause the big earthquake out here in California.
Don't let Alice. It's just like not yelling near near snow to create an avalanche.
Right.
Don't let Allison sing the Capitol song. California's tectonic plates couldn't take the simultaneous boner popping.
Wow. It's kind of amazing how you make grotesque things sound really scientific.
It's a gift.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by
it. Gotten us this far.
I'll tell you.
Hey, you got a TV show out of it.
One of my biggest influences is Dana Gould, who is a comic who writes the most eloquent filth. It's amazing.
Yeah. Eloquent filth.
Eloquent filth.
That should be the name of an album.
Kind of. Wait, that was a little too precious sounding.
Oh.
Eloquent filth. Anytime you dub your own work as eloquent, people are like, I want you shut the fuck up.
It sounds like it should have been the name of one of the albums on Spinal Tap.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or a Nirvana song.
Yes.
Eloquent filth.
Yep.
Slash rape me.
I was just... going through my albums, I just found my Break Like the Wind picture disc, which was the second Spinal Tap album. I have that on vinyl, and I also have the original soundtrack on vinyl.
That's kind of impressive. Ladies.
Yeah. Very. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Shark sandwich, simply just a two-word review. Shit sandwich.
I mean, how much more blacker could it get? None more black.
So what are you going to do now when all of your album buying money is going to go buy some woman a new bumper?
Yes.
Sucks so bad. And then she just shows up in a neck brace. You're like, you weren't even in the car.
Yeah. God damn it. It's just like a fucking corner of the fucking. I don't want to.
So aggravating.
Fucking, insurance, give it the estimate.
You know, but here's the thing.
I don't want to do that.
My car has two dents on it from people who hit it and did not leave any information.
Your snazzy new car?
Yeah. Oh my snazzy God. New car. Yeah,
I'm
I have
so
a dent
sorry.
In the front front passenger side wheel, and I definitely have a nice big chunk that someone opened their door into
fuck.
Mine.
Well,
yeah.
Fucking park so close to me.
Right.
Yeah. How many times do you come back and you have the fucking screw indentations from someone's license plate?
Oh yeah.
It was parallel parking and just boink and they fucking leave. I hate those people, and I salute you that you are standing up like a man, because so many people are pussies about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Matt.
Paul Bonanno got into an accident this morning.
He did?
His brand new Soul, Kia Soul, just a guy like scraped along the side of him. That guy has bad luck with cars.
Yeah. That sucks.
Oh man.
Yeah. Soul, he probably improved it.
That's true.
So Slippy, let's talk a little bit about Attack of the Show.
Let's talk about the name Slippy.
Hey,
hey Slip.
Hey, Slip.
But do you...
Slippy.
Is that something you were called?
Yeah.
Ever?
Well, I'd say in my later years, yes. As a child, no. People call me Slippers. Yeah.
Slippers.
Hey. Slippy. Right. Yeah, because for a long time when we were hosting, people were saying Hard Slip, and then it became Team H. The H team.
Because Blair Herder used to do the feed with us, too.
So this is a lot of fun. So Blair Herder is...
Well, it's because we used to call ourselves the B team.
Right.
Because we weren't Kevin and Olivia. The H team. And then they were like, no, you're the H team.
So Blair Herder is dating Jessica Chobot.
Who
also is on the channel from time to time.
Proving
Grounds. Lovely girl.
Well,
lovely
her new
girl.
Show's coming out, Proving
right,
Grounds.
Right. Yeah. So I said to Blair, I was with the two executive producers, Vinny and Joshua, of Attack of the Show, and we ran into Blair. And I said, so you guys need your tabloid couple name, and I'm going to suggest Churter.
Oh, gosh.
And then Vinny... One of the EPs tag of the show goes, no. You guys need to be Blowbot.
Yes.
Oh, that's perfect.
So now we're trying to start them as Blowbot, which Blair says Jessica's not too keen on.
Really?
Blowbot.
Well, that's just her nickname anyway.
So. I mean, come on now.
That's just bringing up bad
ladies,
memories from high school.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Blowbot.
I'm for it. My last name's easy because you can just put Slip on the end of whatever other syllable you want to add on there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hard slip. That's all I got.
When Kevin and I hosted, it was Pear Slip.
Oh, Pear Slip sounds like a spice.
Oh, yeah.
We need to add more Pear Slip.
Yes. There you go.
What? That's a rare spice. We have to climb that mountain.
At least it doesn't sound like a part of someone's junk.
That's true. Part of someone's gorgeously messy vagina.
Gorgeously messy? It sounds like my bedroom.
So... And a vagina.
And a vagina.
So tell me about how's it been going since? I mean, you haven't been on Attack as much as of late because you've been working. So you're not going anywhere.
No. I'm still doing all the like field reports and the movie junkets and things like that. I'm actually just doing my job that I did when I was originally on the show. And then as people left Attack, I started taking over other jobs. But now I'm back to my original job of just being badass. Which I like.
So tell me, and we can cut this out if you don't want to talk about it. Do you want to talk at all about like the changing of the guard on the show, or do you not want to get into
it? We can get into it. That's fine.
Because I think there was initially. let me just preface this by saying, Candace is doing a great job.
Yeah,
she's amazing. There was a huge gap in between, you know, when Olivia was sort of still working on the show, and then when they announced Candace. But I think, and honestly, there was some expectation that you might slide in there and take over hosting the show.
Right,
so.
And I don't think anyone realized how much expectation there was until after the announcement was made, and people were just kind of shocked that it wasn't me,
right.
You know, which I actually was incredibly touched by,
yeah.
That so many people, you know, were... that so many people just wanted me to take over the show. I didn't realize that there was that kind of support out there. But obviously, like, I've gone on to take on The Voice. So it's like, if I had taken over the show, I wouldn't be able to do this other opportunity.
Right.
So I don't know. Things have all worked out.
And I think, you know, like I told you at the time, and we've had weeks where we've hosted that show for a whole week.
I know. We're exhausted by the end of it.
It's fucking hard. Like,
it
hosting
really
that show every day.
Yeah.
That is your whole day. It's just like throwing a show together, hosting it live, and then you barely have enough energy to drag yourself home.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I remember, like, by the time we hit Thursday, it felt like at the end of the show, you and I were like, are we still funny? Like, does this even matter anymore? You know?
What am I saying?
I know. It's like, the prompter's still there, right? I don't have to make up
any
jokes.
No, there's no prompter. We make everything up off the top.
Totally.
We're just making it all up.
That's why I say words wrong all the time.
But, I mean, obviously, I'm sure a part of you was like, ah, damn, come on. But, you know, I think you did a good job, and I think you handled it really well, and you know, you've been very gracious to Candace, who is awesome.
She's
fantastic. And,
yeah.
And has brought a whole new vibe, a whole different vibe to the show. And I think it's awesome that you still get to go out and do I think what you do is much more fun than having to stay and host a show all the time. Like, you get to, you're going to Tokyo.
It definitely is.
All over the place. And you have the freedom to do all that stuff. And I think that's cool.
Right. And that's what attracted me to this job and this network in the first place, was doing all that awesome, fun stuff, like out of the office, out of the studio. And thankfully I get to still be a part of American Ninja Warrior, which is probably my favorite show I've ever
done. Did you run the course?
Not this year. I ran the course the first season of American Ninja Warrior, which was a much easier course. And I successfully got past the quad steps, although I think there were five of them.
God,
then,
I'm so curious to try it. But then I heard, like,
oh, my gosh, did you hear about the woman who broke her ankle?
Oh,
a woman in our business affairs department. I know. I hope I can talk about this since we're in the building. She tested the course the day before the competition and hit the first step and just fell right in the water. And if you were watching, I wasn't there, but someone had a video of it. Yeah. If you're watching it, you just think she fell off the step. She apparently lifted her leg out of the water, and her ankle had snapped in half, and her bone was sticking through.
Now, okay, so my first question is, why is that on a wetsuit? My second question is, did she... She's business affairs.
So
she can't really. Did she try to? She can't really sue anyone.
No, because you had to sign a waiver before you got on there.
Why did I create this waiver to sign?
Exactly.
Oh, this is my fault.
Ross Beely, who produces G4, he went through it too, and I think he hurt his leg.
Now, Ross Beely is the guy who does the fucking Sparta workout, and he's ripped,
AKA CrossFit, like, and P90X.
Whenever we had someone. Whenever we painted someone blue to be Dr. Manhattan,
like,
on the show,
whenever
it was
someone
Ross.
Had to be shirtless on the show, period.
And
it was Ross.
Ross has like a 14 pack.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's always the first to volunteer for any of that stuff.
Oh, completely. And if you actually go to the American Ninja Warrior website, which I think is g4tv.com/ANW, Ross is half the pictures on, like, he's the graphics on the site. It's
so
not actual competitors.
If
Ross
had a tough time, then I feel like, and you know, I'm gonna throw it out there. I'm in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would do that well on
the
Ninja Work.
You're in pretty good shape for a nerd.
I'll do it.
Oh, Matthew, that's adorable.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Jonah, he's not going to do well on the course.
Why
would you even You
would
think
not
that?
Make it past the quad steps.
All right.
The quad steps were super hard this year, too.
Yeah, bring it.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about quad steps.
Yeah.
I'll walk over them.
Ross Beely's navel has abs. Of their own,
but he's more muscular than athletic. I would say, you know, he's kind
of pretty athletic to get that muscle.
Yeah,
like,
because he's skinny muscular. He's not like Corrado.
Exactly. He's not like a fucking bodybuilder. He's just ripped.
Yeah. Guys, I could probably pull a bus with my teeth.
Oh my God! Someone made team. Well, we should talk about this in the host bowl. A guy made some really awesome Team Matt and Team Jonah shirts.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I feel bad because there's that one guy that had the idea and then another guy came and fucking
improved on it.
And did it?
Yeah, did a good job.
It's like when Mercedes invented the car and then Ford was like, I'm going to build an assembly line.
That's like when black people invented rock and roll and Pat Boone was like, thank you, yoink. Yeah.
There was a Team Hayslip for a while. It might still be there.
I'm sure it is there.
Yeah.
It's always there in our hearts, Allison Hayslip.
Team Hayslip.
What was it that you said a minute ago?
Oh, that I said that I was getting Invisalign in a couple weeks. We were talking about dental hygiene,
Okay, I want you to tell me how that is, because I'm starting to feel like I could probably use a little tooth straightening.
Yeah, really? Well, you know what's funny is
here's why.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Allison. I just want to answer Matt's question really fast. Because it's not bad now, but in 30 years, it's going to be like it's going to be like a fucking craggy Scottish...
Crag.
Thank you.
Craggity crag. Exactly. That's
crag,
what I said.
I blew my load saying crag first.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to build up.
It's going to be like the aggro crag.
Yes.
Guts.
Yes. My bottom teeth have shifted. Like my teeth are in a totally different position than they were a year ago. And I'm like fuck, if they're moving this quickly now, like, what are they going to be like in a couple years? So I'm really getting Invisalign to just prevent it from getting worse. But I tweeted about it and people flipped out at me. They were like, you don't need to change anything about yourself. You're perfect. You have the best smile. Don't ruin it. I'm like, I'm not ruining my smile. I'm just preventing it from getting worse.
Hashtag, you know? Humble brag. That was a little bit of a humble brag.
Was it? Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean it to be, but
all
it was
these
true.
People
hey, don't worry.
So
I do it all the
pretty.
Fucking time. I do it all the time. I accidentally humble brag.
Humble brag.
Humble brag.
Well, I was actually shocked because
it's kind of cute when you do it, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Humble brag. After that, I got a tweet from some guy being like, I can't believe Allison Hayslip got a nose job. And I was like, what? First off, when would I have time to do that? And why would I get in my nose to look like this?
Between Klondike bars?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I actually retweeted that one out and was like, nope, this is the nose I was born with. And that started a whole other conversation. But someone who I went to college with tweeted me back and he was like, I'm pretty sure you've known you've made it when people start thinking you've gotten erroneous plastic surgery.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
That's right.
That's my marker for being famous.
You know, people to me are always like, did you get pec implants? Because you look fucking ripped. That's never happened.
No, I don't think so.
That's never happened. It's actually never happened.
Hey, Chris.
Don't say it, Allison.
But I really want to know.
I really want to know.
Why don't you lift up your Dalek shirt? Because that's totally what you're wearing right now.
I am wearing an Dalek London shirt. Allison called me scrawny once.
Really?
He was so upset with me. Chris gets really upset with me sometimes.
Guy. You're a small guy.
Scrawny is a horrible word.
Ah, it's not. I mean, you know scrappy. What else? You're scrappy.
Exactly.
Scrappy, I like.
Yeah.
You know what else Chris gets upset with me for? Whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were hosting the show together one day, and right before we went live, I good gamed him, smacked him on the ass, and was like, good show. He got so pissed at me. He was so upset with me. Like, we were in a fight for the first half of the show. On live TV, even though no one knew it.
Chris
because
has,
apparently he hates people smacking his ass.
You ever see 3 o'clock high? I don't like being
that?
Touched.
No, he doesn't, he has boundaries. He doesn't like being touched.
But still.
Oh, that's the thing you and Mike Furman have in common. You don't like people being really near you.
Actually, I don't mind touching people. Like when I'm at shows,
you
come at their shows,
people all the time.
I will hug people.
When you initiate.
So when your friend who you've known for years and years and years smacks you on the ass, that pisses you off.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
It was really upsetting.
It's just something deep inside that, like, you know, you awoke it.
I know. I sort of thought that I lost his friendship for a moment there.
You know, if we'd been having sex, it would have been in a different thing, but we were hosting a show, and it was weird. It was weird. But then if I had done it to you, instantly fired. Right?
No, because what everyone knocks on me here. Come on. I'm like the butt of every joke at G4.
No, you're not.
So slapper.
Yeah.
No. So
bring it.
Don't people. You don't want to put that out in the world. She told me to hit her. Like, yeah. Oh my God, you guys.
She was asking
proof.
For it.
Yeah. Right. No means no.
No means no.
Well, you know, you did turn me on to one of my temporary addictions for a while, which was Peggle. Fucking
oh
Peggle.
Oh my gosh. I forgot I did that to you. Yeah. Yes. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it was better on the iPad than on the iPhone.
Well, I played it on Xbox Live.
Yeah. I couldn't bring my Xbox on planes.
That's true. That's true. You know, Kevin Pereira and I went to London together in 2009 to host the Barclaycard World Free Running Championships.
Yep.
We sat next to each other on the plane and played Peggle for like half the plane ride out there.
Wow.
It was amazing. It's the best game.
What'd you do for the other 5 hours?
What?
What'd you do for the other 5 hours?
Slept, watched movies. You know, all that stuff you do on planes.
All the stuff you do on planes for when you're on planes for 12 hours.
It's almost as if she left that part out because it was very uninteresting.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just find it fascinating if people can sit on a plane and not take 3 Vicodin and just sleep.
Oh, no.
Poor Matthew. Poor adorable Matthew.
Oh, I like standing. It's good.
How many miles are you walking every day now?
Between 6 and 9. Depends on
really?
The day.
Are you hiking Runyon Canyon?
No.
Oh, you should be. That's
I don't
what
think
I do.
My back would enjoy that.
Really?
No.
Man, it's a bad back.
Hey, babe,
that's
you run marathons? Funny. That's what I'm doing.
Are you running marathons?
No, of course not.
No. I don't care if I'm in the best shape of my life. I never want to run a marathon.
I think this week I'll hit the 2s.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude.
Is this like our own Biggest Loser?
It's kind of like it. I've lost 72 pounds.
That's amazing.
Just in 3.5
February,
months.
Since February.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Good for you.
It's my bad back. That's what I think.
Well, it's because of your diet and your bad back.
Yeah.
Matt has a back where he can't sit down. He constantly has to be on his feet moving, so it forces him to walk everywhere.
Well, that helps.
And so in addition to sticking to a healthy diet, which he has done.
Right.
Just walking.
You know, it's weird, guys. When you exercise and eat better, it's almost like.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yep. So that's why he looks fucking good. That's why I don't mind making like Matt's gonna eat the food truck jokes now, because he's not that guy anymore.
Right.
It still hurts.
No.
Just
no,
a little.
It doesn't.
I think it does. I think that was an honest look on his face.
Aww. Matthew. Okay,
whatever.
That's adorable.
Wait, I told the open mic because this guy had gone up and talked about his parents being like real Whole Foods parents or whatever. And I went up and I was like, my parents were not Whole Foods parents at all. They would not have anything organic. And then I told the story about how when I was 6 years old, I was eating a bunch of cake at a birthday party. And my aunt was like, why are you eating all that cake? And I said to my aunt, if I don't, I'll die.
Oh, I feel terrible. That sucks.
It's true, though.
Right?
It's true.
Yeah. You hadn't
Let's
eaten all
just
that
remember
cake.
That, Matt. Always remember that.
Eat the cake.
Eat the cake.
Let's just fucking for a second.
The cake's a lie.
The cake is a lie.
The cake is a demon.
Holy crap,
do not
Portal 2, one
it.
Of the best video games I've ever played in my life.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, it really is. I even downloaded, you can download the first Portal on Xbox Live now, beat it in 4 hours. I just sat down, 4 hour stretch, bam, done. Loved
it. What else are you playing?
That's about it right now, because I'm so busy. But
yeah,
like,
I mean,
you're not playing any La Nori?
No, La Nori. No, I didn't pick that up because that's a game that like you have to dedicate a good amount of time to. And I just don't have that time in my life. Yeah. Like,
God, those sandbox games are so fucking time consuming.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't handle
those.
It's
not a sandbox.
L.A. Noire?
No, it's not a sandbox.
It can be, but you follow cases.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can do anything.
They're super time consuming.
Drive around.
Like Portal, you could turn on, beat one
anybody.
Level, and then turn the game off.
That's
and
what
you
I need
satisfied.
More of in video games.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I do with L.A. Noire.
You do?
I do a case, and then I'm done.
Say it like you're a cop. I just do a case, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Do a case.
I put the badge down.
Out of there.
Yeah.
They're casing them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Bergen's.
Do you live by Bergen's?
I live near Bergen's.
I live near Bergen's too.
We should go to Bergen's.
We're neighbors.
Bergen's.
What? Actually, I probably shouldn't have said that because now people are going to know near where I live.
I'll cut it out.
Near.
People are going to find my local watering hole.
Just say that you live near where Biggie got killed.
Biggie got killed near Bergen's?
Biggie got killed at Wilshire.
Right near the auto museum.
Outside of P. He was leaving the Source Awards after party.
Who doesn't leave the Source Awards after party?
I don't even know what the Source Awards are.
Source is a magazine for hip hoppers and soul music.
Hip hoppers.
If the awards for the Source are any indication, it is a murder magazine.
Right.
Because people always, those are one of the biggest jokes for so many years. Like, who's going to get stabbed or shot at the Source Awards?
Yeah, it's always a bad thing.
Sad. So
that's what happened. That's where it all went down.
A lot of posses clash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I don't roll with a posse, because it's like I can't control my posse. It's like, guys, come on. You're like
posse?
These murderous electrons who spin around me, and you're going to.
Murderous electrons.
Yeah, right?
And you're the nucleus?
Comparison? I'm the nucleus.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm the nucleus. So you're playing Portal 2, but you're not really have time to play in that because you're flashing your V.
Flashing my V.
What's this? How much longer are you going to be working on the voice for this season?
We are live through June 29th. That's our last show for this season. And then the second season starts up in January. So I'm assuming I start working again probably in like September or October.
That's a nice stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you'll come back and you'll get to fuck around on G4 for a handful of months.
Yeah. It'll be nice. I'll be at Comic-Con. Can't wait.
Me too.
I know. Comic-Con's going to be the best. I'm very excited.
We've had a lot of fun at Comic-Cons in years past.
We have. Oh, that's another time you got really upset with me. I tried to read his joke book.
That is very...
You can't do that. No.
Going through a comedy notebook would almost be like...
Reading your diary.
Yeah, it's like reading your diary.
I think I earned that one. I mean, I think I earned you being upset with me for that one.
Yeah. Or if I was like, let me just take your underwear off. And you were like, why are you doing this? Like, because you're... A comic's notebook is, there's a lot of weirdly personal stuff in there that doesn't make sense to anyone else.
Right.
And so you just look crazy.
You would just look crazy. You're crazy.
I know that. But then.
Brilliantly crazy.
But then a lot of it.
And scrappy.
But not scrawny.
No.
No.
Never scrawny.
It's big C.
Why did I say you were scrawny? And now I don't even remember.
I don't know.
That
makes no
sense. Why would I just randomly be like, you're scrawny?
No, you're probably looking.
That's exactly how you did it.
Because I'm so mean.
The intonation came back. It's
because I'm from Jersey. Sometimes we just have a mean streak.
I know you're from Jersey because of the way you say buttons.
Button.
Buttons.
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 And water.
Mutton.
Mutton. Buttons. What was the word I screwed up on the feed? Oh, Bono.
What'd you say?
You were there for that. When I said Bono instead of Bono, like the dude from U2, and I didn't even realize I had said it wrong.
That's okay. When Olivia started on Attack of the Show, she said Mick Hammer,
yeah,
instead of MC Hammer.
Oh, no.
Mick Hammer.
You know that Irish songster?
Yes, Mick Hammer.
Mick Hammer.
Yeah.
Don't touch this.
You can't touch this. You
can't touch it.
You can't touch this. I'm just too legit.
And then bagpipes come in.
Yeah.
Your hands are like a parachute.
Oh, wait, are bagpipes Scottish?
No. Those are Scottish.
Whatever.
Think about the Addams Family.
What?
They do what they want
they
to
do. They do what they say what they want to say. Live how they want to live. Play
dance
how they
want
to play.
Dance.
I actually
kick
just
and
recently,
they slap a friend.
Hi.
I recently walked a red carpet for the Thor premiere behind MC Hammer's family. His entire family walked the red carpet in front of me.
He still brings a huge posse with him wherever he goes, huh? That's what
I
got
mean,
him in trouble.
Like his kids and everything. Posse. His family, yeah.
Oh, you're friends with Chris Hemsworth.
Who played Thor? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. When you're like, my friend just got cast to play Thor.
And everyone's like, who the fuck's that? And now he was like on every billboard in Los
Kirk's
Angeles.
Dad.
Yeah, he was Kirk's dad in Star Trek.
Yep.
But actually, going back to my London trip when Kevin and I flew out to London together, on the way back, I was in Heathrow and I'm walking down one of the hallways and Chris Hemsworth is walking the other way. And we looked at each other and we're like, why are we running into each other in Heathrow Airport? You know? And it turns out he had been flown to London for like 48 hours to rehearse with Sir Kenneth Branagh and Natalie Portman on their new script rewrite. So he was flying back to LA and I was like, oh, where's your seat? We were sat right next to each other.
That's awesome.
On the plane. I know. It was so
That's
weird.
Great.
Yeah. So we got to catch up on that whole flight home.
Oh, that, boy. Well, it's at least good that you like the person, because sometimes you see people and you're like, oh my God, what are you?
And now I'm stuck next to you on a plane. No, he's great. He's a really sweet dude.
Did he have to check the hammer or was that carry on?
I think they allowed that carry on.
Really?
It's fine. It's technically not a sharp object.
Well, I don't understand why he was on a plane. Why wouldn't you just use the hammer and fly back home?
Fly back home. I know. That's true. You know why? Because he wasn't that size yet.
Question.
Because he worked out so much to become that
size. Why wouldn't you just hop on the Rainbow Bridge and then just have it plant him back down in L.A.?
That would make sense.
Right?
The flute.
Because he probably would have to go all the way back to Asgard. Is that what it is?
Asgardia? I'm almost thinking these events didn't actually happen.
When you say Rainbow Bridge, I can only think of the band that Jimmy Pardo was in when he was in middle school.
Rainbow Bridge.
I just thought of Super Mario World.
Ooh.
Rainbow Bridge.
There was a cartoon that had a Rainbow Bridge, like Punky Brewster or something like that.
Or My Little Pony?
Maybe that was it.
Maybe.
Or the Gary Coleman Show?
Thinking of Rainbow Bright.
Rainbow Bright. No, there was a girl who had a pet magical teddy bear and like
sounds
something.
Like Care Bears.
Shit, I'm just confusing.
I think
them all.
Yeah. Well, Care Bears, their
Maybe
cloud cars,
this,
their cloud cars would have a rainbow.
With a rainbow trail. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
How have you managed to be girly but like dude stuff at the same time? And I don't mean dude stuff. Like I don't mean to sound sexist, but I just mean. That,
like video games and sports.
Like
and
video
all that
games
crap.
And cars and sports,
you know,
and
honestly, I just think it's, you know, from growing up, I just tended to hang out with my dad a lot. And I just like doing stuff that my dad liked to do.
Your parents are nice.
Yeah, you've met them.
I have met
they're
your
pretty
parents.
Fantastic.
Although I've not, you know, one time I was in New York and you invited me over for tuna casserole and I was not able to go.
Oh, that's right. It was tuna casserole. That's really funny.
Like
my mom makes really good
she's
tuna casserole.
She's making pretty sweet tuna casserole.
And now you won't be able to. My parents moved to South Carolina.
God damn it.
I know. It's very sad. New Jersey is technically no longer my home base.
That
which
may
is
not
really
be the worst
sad.
Thing in the world.
It's a weird feeling when that happens.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey,
the house I grew up in. Not
they
my
sold
house
it?
Anymore. They haven't sold it yet. It's just empty.
Were you going to go back there and claim it?
I want to. If anyone wants to buy a house in Tewksbury, New Jersey, it's empty and ready for moving in.
You should buy it with some of those sweet voice dollars.
Yeah, right.
And just have it be your East Coast palace.
I know. So I can just go home to the middle of nowhere, New Jersey, whenever I want.
Yeah, right? Dude, your delightful, sheltered environment of New Jersey, just get away from it all.
I never knew there was another Tewksbury. I grew up next to Tewksbury, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. Well, we call it Tewksbury, not
Tewksbury.
I remember I was so traumatized as a child. I was wearing a Tewksbury a sweatshirt in Disney World, and some guy stopped me and he was like, Tewksbury, Massachusetts. And I was like, yeah. And then I walked away and I was like, wait, no, I'm from New Jersey. And like the whole rest of the day was my head was fucked up because I lied to some dude and said I was from Tewksbury, Massachusetts.
You better make that right.
I know, yeah. Right? Dude, I still remember the time I was 13 and went to the movie theater and said I was 12 to get in at the kids' price. And the person behind the glass knew I was lying, at least I think they knew I was lying. I mean, I couldn't enjoy it. Was Cool Running, so that was a movie I was going to see. Couldn't enjoy the movie because I hated that I had lied to this person.
Did you go back out and pay an extra $1.50?
I have wanted to. This is something that still haunts me. I'm still like, I should go back and like pay full price for that ticket.
I like it. I like it. There's a little bit of OCD in you, which is...
I think it's just my like crazy moral system.
I've tried the similar thing. I tried to get into a movie at a kid's price, and then right after that, I wanted to go see a rated R movie, so I had to say I was older to get into the rated R movie. It was good.
Why would you pay?
What?
Why would you?
No, it's a different theater. There was two theaters right next to each other. And you know what? You want to know what the movies were? Casper. With Christina Ricci.
Devin Sawa.
Yes.
That was rated R?
No.
That was the kid movie.
And then I went to the other theater to go watch Tales from the Hood.
Ooh.
It was a great double feature.
I kind of like R-rated Casper, though.
R-rated Casper?
Yeah,
where
I like that
Christina
too.
Ricci is just toweling off and Casper is just like, he's having
he's
sex with her from behind. And she's like, I have this weird reverse fart feeling. And she doesn't really understand why.
He really looks like a dead boy.
He looks like a dead boy. Oh, we could have so much fun if we made Casper... A little more like if we threw Robert Kirkman at Casper, like we could have some fun.
Let's just do a Casper Black Snake Moan trailer mashup.
Yes. Someone's gonna do that now.
Yeah,
that's
they should.
Happening.
I request these things all the time and I never see them.
That's because Chris has to request them.
Black Snakes on a Plane Moan. Black Snakes on a Plane Moan.
Like Black Snakes. That's not the right movie.
Black Snake Moan. Snakes on a Plane.
We're talking about
Casper, dude.
Well, then put a fucking ghost in it.
All right.
put a ghost on it.
Put a ghost on it. So what's next? What's next for you, dear Allison Hayslip?
I have like 12,000 weddings to go to, so I don't have a next.
All your friends?
I work, and then I go to weddings.
All your fucking friends are getting married?
I know, right? What the fuck?
This is the time of their lives when they're supposed to be starting to get divorced. Or are these second marriages?
Sadly, some of them are on that as well.
All right.
Yeah. Everyone's having babies.
What did all your friends go off and do?
Not this.
Did they stay in Jersey?
No, a lot of my friends, I have a couple who stayed in Jersey, but a lot of people who I grew up with moved to New York because it's a super close city and we all, we know it very well. I have some friends who are up in San Francisco. Most people went off to do like big business type stuff. Like I have a friend who works for Google and people who work for big fancy law firms. And I'm like, I'm an actor in LA. Yay.
I know that acting was the thing you set out to do.
Yeah.
It just turns out you happen to be good at hosting stuff.
Yeah, but I'm still acting as well when I with all my free time, you know. But I try to fit in at least one like good sized project a year. So I'm still doing that.
What's it going to be this year?
I don't know yet.
The untitled Allison Hayslip project.
Yeah, exactly. I should have a movie hopefully being released this year, a movie I shot last year. Called Division 3.
What?
It's a movie I shot with Andy Dick. I think I told you about this.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's a football comedy movie. Do you know Andy?
I do. My question is, who was his wrangler?
Actually, it was our director because they're very good friends.
Okay.
And Andy was a delight to work with.
He's a sweetheart.
He was fantastic.
Very funny.
Yeah. I mean, and really commits. Like, we had scenes where he had to do all this crazy physical stuff and he was literally like nauseous by the end of it because he put so much into it.
Yeah.
But also a really giving actor too.
But it's like trying to hold on to a dolphin.
Yeah. I mean, the man definitely has his demons for sure. Let me tell you, like I worked with him that whole movie and I was like, he's fantastic. And then I got to the rap party and I was like, oh, this is the guy who's in the news.
I don't
all
think
the time.
Andy Dick has demons as much as demons have Andy Dicks.
But when working, he's fucking on. He's on and he's like legit.
Yeah, exactly.
But any other time.
Yep. He's off.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what are you doing here today at the building? Are you doing anything for
I'm
a tech
doing
today?
This.
Oh, you came here just to do the podcast?
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Because it's been a year and a half since you said I could be on this
thing.
Whoa,
look at the time.
Would you rather be on now when we have the most listeners ever or before
we
had pretty
right.
much the same amount of listeners?
I actually asked Chris. I actually asked Chris last week. I was like, so wait, did I just get screwed by coming on the podcast the week after it gets announced that it's becoming a TV show? Like, do I not get to be on the TV show now?
Yeah. Everyone cried sellout and left.
We have a 3-year moratorium. We can't be on for 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. Like The Price is Right.
Well, now we have to see if the TV show gets picked up. We shoot the TV show, and then they'll air the pilot. They'll air it, and then we'll see if we can get
there.
You guys,
Blowbot
just walked by.
Blowbot.
Well, you know, I think it's unfair to refer to her singularly as Blowbot. It has to be both of them.
No, it was both of them.
Oh, both of them? Oh, Blowbot!
They were holding hands and looking adorable.
And then a Blowbot walked by afterwards. Very clunky, but very humanistic.
Yeah,
very,
right?
Must blow things.
Blah.
Vicky, no! What?
I'm just thinking of Vicky Lawson doing that. It's horrible. Little girl.
No, she was a robot. She couldn't feel things.
All right.
That's what made
her
so
why
good.
That's why he built her... for his clearly gay son, he was like, well, I just want to see. And then when nothing happened between the two of them, he's like, all right, you know, son, I support your lifestyle, but now I just have this robot and I don't want it to go to waste. So
let's make her clean shit.
Hey, Slip, I adore you. And
I adore you.
So happy that you finally get to come on the podcast.
I know.
And you'll have to come back on because I'm so eager to see. It's such an exciting time for your career. I mean, you have this... You know, you have this one job that you love and you have this other thing that's popping, and it'll just be really interesting to see, like, the next couple of years for you will be a lot of fun,
right.
I think. So hopefully you're a happy person. You enjoy all this stuff.
I totally do. I'd actually love to put together my own show at some point, like something that I can kind of front run and have some sort of creative input on and things like that.
Cleaning up the house with Allison Hastin.
But I think, you know, I love coming on and doing stuff like this, like your podcast or just sitting down and chatting with people. And I think... I'd like to put my own spin on that at some point. So.
Sewing buttons with
sewing
Allison.
Buttons.
Sewing buttons.
Underwater.
Sewing buttons underwater. Sewing buttons underwater.
Water. No, water.
Water.
Water, yeah.
Water.
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 Water. How would you spell that?
W-U-D-E-R.
Water. Okay, water.
Water.
Water. Water button. Water buttons.
Water buttons.
All right.
Yeah.
Keeping it alive for the East Coast. You are at Allison Hayslip on Twitter.
I am that.
I believe there is also an at Allison Hayslip web portal as well. There is a .com, correct?
AllisonHayslip.com.
Where people can see.
Yes. Sexy. I have a very fancy
intro. Fuck, you just
intro.
Did a Maxim shoot.
I did just do a Maxim shoot.
How was that?
It was sexy and scandalous.
Do people see your vag?
No. Oh. People don't see anyone's vag in Maxim. They're actually not even allowed to show your ass. There was one getup I had that was a thong.
Getup.
There was a thong, and the photographer was not allowed to shoot me from the back because they were like, Maxim will not show an ass.
You can call that a getup. A getup is like a funny jumpsuit.
Oh, sorry. This was a sexy
jumpsuit.
That's
when you get dressed up like a crash test dummy.
Like, hey, what's up with that getup?
Yeah.
If your girlfriend comes out the first time you're going to the beach for the summer and she's in a thong, you're like, hey, nice getup.
Yeah, exactly.
She will not be your girlfriend anymore.
No, nope.
She will marry you just to divorce you. That's what she would do.
Just to get happier.
Just to do it.
It was a lot of fun. I don't know when the pictures are coming. I've heard September, but like honestly, I have no idea. I think they kind of hold this stuff until they know where to put it.
Can we start calling you Miss September?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, totally. It's a lot better than Slippy.
Do you have a concept in your mind that you're like a smoking hot sex symbol, or are you still like do you still have a young dude's brain?
Oh, I totally have a young dude's brain. It's honestly, it's more from working on Attack of the Show and getting the kind of adoration that the fans have given me that it made me go, oh, I guess I'm kind of.
I mean,
hot,
do you ever just look down? Do you ever just look down at your boobs sometime and go, oh yeah, and then you start mashing them?
I do.
Totally.
Yeah, me too.
What? Mashing my boobs? I've always had my boobs.
I guess
it's not like
true.
They just appeared and I'm like, oh, cool. Boobs.
not like a brain switch comedy.
Yeah.
You're like, you could live in my body for just one day. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you got it so good.
There's another one coming out that's like that.
The
vice
switch.
Versa?
No.
No, there is a vice versa.
Jason Bateman.
Yes.
And
who's the other guy?
And is it Ryan Reynolds? Yeah.
Is it Ryan Reynolds? Yes, it is
up,
Ryan Reynolds.
The change up. That's what it's called.
It's a brain switch comedy.
The change up.
Where they it's literally that moment where they're. Oh, God
they're
damn
pissing
it.
In a fountain together, and they go.
And a storm approaches. I don't know what it is. Lightning is always
and
fucking
they have
involved.
A magic amulet, and they take the magic potion.
And they
switch
omelet?
Brains.
Amulet.
Oh,
or an omelet.
A magic omelet. Very good. It's got
an omelet is
spinach.
What you get at Ren Faire. That's your breakfast at Ren Faire is an omelet.
Yeah.
All right, Allison Haysup, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And enduring our mild harassment.
Oh, I'm used to it. I work at G4.
That's right. You did call me scrawny once. So
I did. I earned
and
it.
You smacked me on the ass really hard one time.
I deserve
so,
this.
Yeah, so it was all right. Okay, good. It was really nice to be here. Do you want to tell everyone to enjoy their burrito? That's what we tell people on the show.
Oh, please enjoy your burrito.
Oh, nice. I liked it.
Sassy.
Good read.
Sass.
Yeah.
Good read.
Endless burritable.
Enjoy your script read through.
Avocado Garden.
Thank you.
Avocado Garden. When you're here, you're family.
Hey. You sound like Mario.
Hey, Mario.
It's me, Mario.
It's me, Mario.
I'd go to Avocado Garden.
I totally would too.
Yeah. Love avocado.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Do you ever wonder what your teenager is going through when they're preparing to leave home and enter the real world? I'm Shima Liai, and in my new podcast, The Competition, I'll give you an inside look into the pressures and expectations high school girls have to face.
I think I need to make a good first impression, or at least an impressive first impression.
We're going to follow 50 teenage girls as they spend 2 weeks in Mobile, Alabama, competing in the largest cash scholarship competition exclusively for high school girls. You'll hear the silly, intimate moments.
Why are you so amazing?
Like, I want to be you guys.
And the anxiety that comes with being an ambitious girl in America.
My whole life, I've told myself that I need to be a 35-year-old professional.
Is the pressure too much to handle? From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.